The Word of God's real, so we thank God for it. Malachi chapter 1, verse number 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? All right. How many chapters in the book of Malachi? Verses? 55, four chapters, 55 verses. Malachi means? My messenger. Amen. So he's a messenger of Jehovah. And so he's come forth to do it. And I'll give you the theme for the book of Malachi. Do you remember what it was? Repent and return unto God. That's what the whole book's about, to get people to repent and turn unto God. So it'd be a good message for America. And a good message for our church and for you as an individual as well. Thank God for what we find out of the book of Malachi. Now, we found in the verses 1 through 5 that these people had a problem with the love of God. They weren't loving God as strong as they should. And they left that. Now, what is it that one of the churches done? They left their first love. It's easy for us to do that. And so we find that they have come to place they're not loving God. The reason I say that is because they said, wherein hast thou loved us? They're questioning God's love. If you get to the place that you don't love God like you should, you'll start questioning God's love for you. You understand that? And so that's what they did. So there's three things here that I want to break down in verses 1 through 5. Is concerning the love of God, and that they had had a problem with the love of God, that they'd grown cold, and they had a problem with their love. Now, in verse number 6, we find that it's not a problem with their love, but it's a problem with their service. Because, see, they were honoring God as the Father. They were not honoring Him as the servant, as the Master, and they were servants. They weren't honoring Him, and so the honor of God was gone, and that has to do with your service. I'll tell you right now, we need to be one that will serve God with all our heart, all our soul, and mind. Now, we get down in verse number 7, we're dealing with something entirely different a little bit. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. This is concerning their worship. You see, they're dealing with worship. And then this is what they said. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? They offered polluted bread. How have they done that, they say? How have we offered polluted bread? And you might say the same thing this morning. How have we done that? Now, we have the same problem that the folks in Malachi's day had. Now, remember, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, he's dealing with the people as a whole, entirely. When we get to verse number 6, we find out he's dealing with the priest. You remember, we dealt with the priest a little bit. When you get to verse number 6, down at the last part, it said, O priest that despise my name. Now, he's dealing with the priests. Now, who are the priests? They're the leaders. Matter of fact, if you'll think about it, they had one of the highest callings of that day. Now, listen, a prophet was important, but he come through at his certain times. He weren't there all the time. He come and he moved around. But the priest worked with the people every single day. And the priest is the one that done the offerings. He's the one that, he was the spiritual leader. He was the spiritual I don't like to call this word the spiritual advisor, if you will. We have a lot of them today, and I don't care too much about them. Amen. But we have a lot of that. And we'll see here in this day, the priest was a spiritual leader. He was the one that God held to the high rank, and he had a high calling. Amen. He's, in a sense, like the preacher of today. God expects us to lead the people. Now, when the priest would not lead the people correctly, we know what happened. And that's why that's where it's at. So when the priest, the leader, and that's where we've come to in America. I believe that's exactly where we've come to. And so we find that God is expecting the priest to have a high position. He's to be clean. He's to be dedicated, consecrated. He had to go through the channels of doing it right. So what's happened is the priests are the ones that offered the sacrifices. Now that when you offer those sacrifices, he's to be clean to offer those sacrifices for God. Now we talked about a little bit about that, but what I want to do is I want to back up this morning and go over to the book of Leviticus and point out some things here that I think are important. What I like about expository teaching and preaching is that you're able to be able to bring in a lot of scriptures and things into it that the Word of God will be able to work on us. Now, I want to make an application, the book of Malachi, to our personal lives and to our personal day that we're living. Most times people look at the book of Malachi and say, well, the book of Malachi was for them people back yonder. But God recorded it and kept it alive and is keeping it alive. And it will remain, and it's just as much intact today as it was then. And so God has a purpose for this book of Malachi for us. And so we overlook these books. That's why I'm trying to pick them up and look at them. Now go to the book of Leviticus. Now Leviticus is a book in your Bible that many people do not care too much about. It's not one that you get up and decide that you're going to, oh, I'm going to read the book of Leviticus this morning. It's such a treasured book. It's one of those books that you'll try to push to the side if you can. Ain't that right? And it's one of those books, it's, if you will, it's dull and boring and you look at it, but it's very important. Now, the book of Leviticus, now it tells the story, actually, of the Levites, of those of the priesthood, and he's talking about the, which is the line that they come through, the line of Levi. And when you look at that, the book of Leviticus is nothing in the world but the laws of the priest and the functions of the priest. And so if you'll get that straight, now since we're looking at the priest here in Malachi, let's look at these things. Now, and I used this last week and I was a little bit on it and I'll get back on it again this morning. The verse of scripture that I want to use in reference out of the New Testament to what I'm fixing to talk about this morning is the same one I used last week in Romans chapter 12 in verse 1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Amen. That's what he said, didn't he? And when he goes on to say that which is reasonable service, he wants us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, in the book of Leviticus, we'll notice that there's five different offerings, and I'm not going to get into them in particular this morning. There's five different offerings in the first, six, seven chapters. And they've got a purpose in them. But the one I want to look at is in chapter 1. I want to deal with this. Now, we're dealing with worship in verse number 7 of Malachi chapter 1. Remember worship. That's the key right now we're dealing with this morning, worship. Our worship must be important. If we don't have our worship right here today, our week will not go right. And we will not be right the rest of it. Our worship is very important. Worship is not just coming and sitting on the pew and singing a few songs. Most of the time we come in to see how loud we can sing or see how better we can sing than the other or see how much better we look. That's not worship. Amen. Worship is when we come in and got our mind on nothing other than the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, I believe worship includes the Godhead. Amen. We have to worship God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I believe we need to do that. The Bible said they'd worship me, you know, worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. And so, well, that's the way we do it. And so, or at least that's the way we're supposed to do it. Now, going to Leviticus. Leviticus. Now, some of these things, you say, well, preacher, we don't have to have an offering. Oh, thank God not. We have one. Amen. We have an offering. But there's some things that I want to talk about this morning. I want to share this with you and point this out. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 1, it's talking about the burnt offering. And the burnt offering, matter of fact, everything was consumed of the burnt offering. And that's talking about, and when you look at it, it's holy consecration, giving everything over to God. Everything had to be presented. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 is basically the same thing. God expects you to lay everything on the altar. That's what He wants. He wants every bit, your entire being. God wants you to lay everything. Your mind, your body, your soul. He wants everything laid on the altar. God don't want part of you. He wants all of you. Amen. Now most of us can agree that God has part of us. Amen. But don't blame God for not having all of you. It's you. You won't give Him all of it. Amen. We've got God in two or three rooms of our house, but He's not in all the areas of our hearts, right? You understand what I'm saying? Leviticus. Now we're going to chapter 1. Look with me in verse number 3. We're not going to read the entire chapter, just a few things. God has full provision for every single person. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That's everybody. Amen. And I believe it's for whosoever will. So now verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd. Now, chapter 1 is talking about the burnt sacrifice. And first of all, he's dealing with it. You'll see how God deals with the lower class, the middle class, and the upper class. God takes care of every single individual. There's room, as the old song says, at the cross for me. And so there's room for you. Though God has plenty of room for us. He said, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Now he's talking about the cattle, the oxen, those sort that they offer. Now everybody could not offer one of those. Everybody didn't have them. Many didn't have the herd. They didn't have the oxen. They didn't have that to offer. Only those who was more fortunate had that. But God said, if that's what your offering is, and if He said, I want you to take, ye shall offer it of His own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Now, I want to point out some things about this offering. Number one, it had to be without blemish. The male. It had to be the male. That's the one that kept the generations going. And those were treasured. God said, that's what I want. Of course, it's also a type of the Lord Jesus. And I'm not going to get into all that. We could stay here a long time just dealing with that one little thought. But he said, without blemish. In other words, when you offer it, I don't want it scabbed up and sored and lame, crippled, half blind. I want you to go out and pick out the best thing you got. That's what God wants. He said, that's asking a whole lot, isn't it? Can you just imagine a fella that's going to have to give a cow or an oxen or something in his herd, and he goes out and he hunts the best thing he's got? What's the tendency of people today? Get rid of what you don't want. Amen. The one that's the most expensive, the one that it will bring you the most money, the one that's the most treasures to you. That's what God expected. God, and I know, why did He do that? God said, if you do that, you're letting me know that your heart's right. Amen. You're willing to give that to God. Now, the Bible said He offered of His own voluntary will. In other words, He's not coaxed into it. He's not pressured into it by the priest. He's not pushed into it by anybody. This is what He wants to do, His own voluntary will from His heart. Now, let me give you a liking of this morning. God wants us to come to the altar. He wants us to come to the altar on our own voluntary will. He wants to, for us to be willing to give ourselves to Him. Not coached because the preacher said we ought to and so forth, and not because our family has pushed us into that. But simply because we love God and want to present ourselves to Him totally 100%. Now this burnt offering is a type of your consecration to God. Now if you'll never have any service... See, people want to have service for God and want to work for God. Well, we need to present ourselves to the Lord and get qualified to work in the service. We're trying to work without being qualified. Amen. You understand? Maybe I'm confusing you. I don't want to confuse you. We'll maybe I'll make it a little plainer in just a minute, all right? So, what they did is they brought that herd, brought it in. Now, here's what he did. And the Bible said in verse 5, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, of course that's Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar, that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall flay the burnt offering. Now flay it means he cuts it up. Flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts. He's taking that, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. Notice verse 9. But the inwards and his legs. Now, they didn't cut them out and throw them away now. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. You know why? That's the dirtiest part of the animal. The inward parts. That's what's wrong with us. The dirtiest part of our, that's our inward being that needs to be cleansed. You got it? It's not the outward. I mean, they could have washed the cow or the bullock all day long and never got the job done. But they took the inward parts and the legs, because the legs, that's what spreads, you know, in typical life of us, is what gets involved in the sin, what takes the body around. It's the one that gets into everything. But the inwards and his legs shall be, shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice. In other words, God wants you to come to the altar, and he wants somebody presented that's got the inward part, the heart, cleansed. Now that's for service. You're not going to be able, you can go through the motions all you want to laying yourself on the altar of God, but if there's sin in your life, God still cannot use you when you get up from that altar. You understand that? God wants the inward parts clean. And that has to be repentance. Repentance, you have to repent and come. So, and God does the cleansing. Now, the second thing out of the book of Leviticus. Verse number 10. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely the sheep or the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. Now, listen, takes care of the middle class. He couldn't afford the bullock and all that. So what he does now is he brings the goat or the sheep. Amen. The less fortunate had those. And they come down. And so he does the same thing. He cuts that lamb. He cuts that goat. He catches the blood. He does that. But in verse 13, but he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water. Now I want to tell you something. You can say what you want to, but that's a nasty job. Anybody would think this morning that this business of offering these things was something that was a nasty job for the priest to cut out the inward parts, wash them, and put them on the altar. And you know what that's showing? It's showing the ugliness and the awfulness and the terribleness of sin in your life and mine. And until we get the place that we see sin in our life ugly, we're not going to do anything about it. You see, we laugh at it today. Now, how we offer polluted bread on the altar? He's asking the priest, or the priests are asked, how we offer polluted bread. In our modern day, we come and present ourselves on the altar of God, and when we do, we've got sin in our life, and nobody knows about it but us and God, and we come and try to do a little business with God, so to speak, but we don't let God have every bit of it, and we go right back out in the work of God, doing the same things, got the same old habits, and don't get rid of them things, and God can't use us. You know what we've done? We've offered polluted bread on the altar of God. That's what we've done. We've given a sacrifice. It's not right there. Somebody said, well, I don't feel qualified to do anything. Well, amen, you're a pretty good prime suspect this morning then to be trying to do business with God. It's that crowd today that said, I ain't got nothing wrong with me that I'm worried about. Amen. I believe we need to approach the throne of God in a very humble attitude. Now, we don't have to bring a sacrifice. We don't have to bring an offering. We don't have to go to the priest, and the priest don't have to do that for us. Thank God Jesus Christ, the supreme sacrifice, has already given himself on Calvary, right? He has. He's gave himself there. All right, now, he has given himself there. All right. Now, I'm looking at you, and we see it ourselves, and since that's offered, we don't have to offer sacrifice. But the sacrifice God's expecting this morning is you and me. We're the sacrifice now. Christ is the supreme sacrifice, but now he's wanting us to lay ourselves on the altar. That's why we got altars in the church. You know that, don't you? Amen. Somebody said, well, the altar's for sinners. Amen. Well, amen. You're on the right track. The only thing is you ain't labeled yourself yet. We know what the altar's for. I had a lady in the church one time sat toward the back, and she said to me, she said, you know, I was preaching, and I said something about the saints of God. Some of them, you never see them go to the altar. I make a statement like that, that kind of skins hides, you know. Amen. That's some of y'all never go to the altar. Amen. Is it because you're so good and right every day and all of your life, or is it you know better than that? Amen. So you know what? She said, the altar's for sinners. That's what she said. She's trying to cover it up. Like she wasn't a sinner. What are you? Anyhow, I want to tell you, the altar, we put the altar in for us to come and use. And so you need the altar, and I need the altar, but we are presenting our sacrifice. What's our sacrifice? Ourselves. We sacrifice ourselves on the altar of God. And that's why we still have them. Amen. Now, we'll find something else here in verse number 14 of Leviticus 1. We're going back to our study in Malachi. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. Now, this is for the lower class. If they couldn't afford that, they'd catch them pigeons and them doves. They make them some way of getting them. So you can catch them. You can't bring a goat or a bullock. Then you can get a turtle dove or a pigeon. Matter of fact, what is it that they offered for Jesus? Amen. You remember that? Amen. Let me see if I can find it for you before I tell you what it is. I'll let you read it in the Word of God. Let me get over to the Scriptures right quick. I wasn't planning on giving you this one, but anyhow. Let's see if I can find it right quick. Turn over into Luke chapter number 2. You'll find what Mary and Joseph offered. In Luke chapter 2, verse 24. Give you time to turn there. All right, it said here, of course, in verse 21, it said, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. Now, there's a sacrifice to be offered. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Huh? Now, what did he do? He was rich, but he became poor for our sakes. Proves it out of the Word of God here. So you see, he offered on the lower class. So he's identified. He's identified with everybody. Thank God for that. You understand what I'm saying this morning? So we find the sacrifice. Go back now to the book of Malachi. We're talking about worship. Now the priest is the one that got them into the worship part. The worship it. They gave all these sacrifices. So he says in verse number 7, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. We're living that way today. We're offering God bad sacrifices. The Lord's getting the wrong end of the deal. We think we're the ones who are blaming God because our life's not going right. And what it is, we don't lay ourselves on the altar of God. God will take care of business in our life. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, He'll take care of us. But they offered offered polluted bread. Now, it's like today. A man will run around on his wife, or a wife will run around on her husband, and they laugh about it in this modern day. Laugh about it. And they call it an extramarital affair instead of what God calls it. You understand what I'm saying? And it's constant. And you see things like that. Sin in our lives, and we don't pay much attention to what sin is. We've got a bad view of sin. The priests did. They were involved in it. Now, I don't know whether they were in the business, and I know it was looking like probably for the money-making business, and I want to say this morning. A lot of the ministry, a lot of the people in the ministry are in for the money. Thank God there's some it's not. There's some it's not. Thank God there's some genuine people. You get one bad apple in the barrel, and it kind of ruins the whole ones, because, you know, a fella told me one time, said, well, you can't really judge it all by one bad apple in the barrel. And I said, no, but if you don't get that bad apple out of the barrel, it ain't going to be long, the whole barrel's going to be bad. I know that much. But what I'm saying is, today we've come to the place that preachers are in the ministry for, that's the way they make a living. They do what they can. A lot of them would not face the issues and deal with some of the things that we deal with here at this church simply because they're paid and they're hirelings and they're afraid they'll lose their salaries. And they have to go make a living somewhere and they don't want to work. Some of them just that way. Amen. I don't want to be one of them. Thank God. I'm more lazy than I've ever been, but I can work a certain amount. I'm not as able to work as I used to be, but I've always liked to work. And the ministry is not what I got. God called me. But there's a lot of preachers don't know what it is to be called. You get in certain circles and you say, what about when God called you? What are you talking about God calling you? They don't know what you're talking about. You know. And then I think some of them feel like they've been called when they weren't. Maybe Mama called them. But anyhow, we're not into trying to be critical about those things. I'm just trying to tell you this morning that we have a lot of that. Maybe these priests were taking the best. And look at this. Let me share something with you. When somebody in the congregation brought a lamb or whatever animal they brought, and it was lame, what should that priest have done? He should have said, no, can't take it. It's not right. But instead, he's offering them. You see what I'm saying? He folded in with the crowd. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he had some in the backyard and swapped out. I don't know. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Could have been. I can't. You said don't say that. No, don't say it didn't either. So there's some wheeling and dealing going on. And we find that today in our churches. And we can't worship God with the tactics that we are performing. And we need to come to the place that we yield ourselves to the altar and lay ourselves on the altar of God. Now, let me just give you a few things I jotted down here God wants and God does. First of all, God desires to meet with sinners. God desires to meet with sinners. You got that? God desires to meet with sinners. To meet with them. God not only desires to meet with them, but God desires to reveal Himself to sinners. That's what He does through preaching all the time. God desires to reveal Himself to the sinner. That's why He has us preaching. That's why He got gospel tracts. That's why He got witnesses of you and me. Amen. God desires to speak to sinners. God ain't sitting on the throne this morning don't want to have nothing to do with the sinner. He's done come and died for them. He's paid the price for them. He desires this morning to forgive and accept the sinner into His presence. Not as a sinner, but to cleanse him and accept him in the beloved. That's what God wants. God desires to forgive him of his sin. He does. God desires to forgive any sin. God desires to dwell with sinners. And God desires to just accept them and give them what He wants. But on top of all that, when it's all said and done and God desires all and He gives it to them, God desires for that sinner that's been saved by grace to worship Him. Amen. Now God made man, and man, and I'll have to say this and you'll have to agree with it, man is the highest of God's creation. Nothing any higher than man on this earth that I know of. Amen. God made man in His own image, in His own likeness, and God expected him to walk with Him, did He not? Amen. And God wants us to worship. Now let me give you some things. Time's going to catch before I get through all this. This is Christmas season. So let me just give you something to apply for a minute. What is it the wise men did when they came to Jesus? And what did they do with those gifts? They worshiped. That's the key I'm looking for. We're looking at worship. Right? They gave Him what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three ingredients. Three things they brought to Him. Now, if you want to look at that this morning, what's the gold represent? Deity. Gold represents the deity of God. In other words, they were recognizing Him when they worshiped Him as God. Now, that's the first prerequisite this morning in your worship. You must recognize Jesus Christ as God. Amen. Deity. When they bow before these idols, they are saying that's deity to them. That's why God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Right? We worship God. When we worship Him and we bow before Him, and they offered gold. You take a story from these fellows. They offered Him gold. That represents the deity. It really does. It represents the deity, that He's God. The second thing they offered, frankincense. What's frankincense? It's a perfume. It's a fragrance. It represents the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a sweet smelling savor in the nostrils of God. God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The sinless Son of God. You see? That's what you bring. So you're coming in. We offer Him gold, deity. They offered before Him frankincense. Not only did they say, this is God's Son. This is God's sacrifice. This is what God has accepted. This is what God has given us. That's what worship includes. And then, thirdly, they gave Him myrrh. Now, myrrh was something that had to do with suffering, you know, in death. In death, they give those, they anointed bodies with myrrh. That was a representative of suffering. In this place, it represents the vicarious sufferings of Christ. In other words, He took the suffering for you and me. That's what vicarious means. He took our place on Calvary. And so that's what they're doing when they're doing it. In other words, that represents the sufferings of Christ. So we come together, what we're doing is we're recognizing Him as God. He's the Son of God, pleased in the sight of God, who's done the work of God. And God's pleased with, and He's our supreme sacrifice. He suffered, bled, and died, and we're exalting Him. That's above all gods of this world. And that's what worship is. You worship Him and Him alone, you see. Now, God has a desire for worship. God has a desire to be close to you. Matter of fact, He has more desire to be close to you than you do Him. God wants you to be near Him. When He put man in the garden, what did He do? Walked with him in the cool of the day. God's desire is to have fellowship with mankind. And the whole driving message of the book of Leviticus this morning is worship. The whole driving book, I mean the whole driving message of the book of Leviticus is how we worship God. And so God seeks us to worship Him. He wants us to do that. And God even saved you so that you'll come back and worship Him. Now, these priests were offering it wrong. And I'm trying to talk to you about your worship with God. The book of Exodus, God put a tabernacle in the wilderness to do one thing, to worship, through the sacrifices, of course, the way they did it. Psalms, the biggest book in the Bible, the longest book in the Bible, is filled with worship, worship, worship. Praise and adoration, magnifying and glorifying God. Amen. Now, the Old Testament condemns. Most of the Old Testament condemns. I mean, except those that accept the worship. But God condemns false worship throughout Genesis, from Genesis through Malachi. And that's what they were doing here. The New Testament teaches worship, that we're to worship Him throughout. Read it, study it. And matter of fact, if you look at it, the whole book of Revelation, the whole triumph of the whole book of Revelation is at the end, we worship Him who is Lord God Almighty. And that's what it's going to end up at. Man don't worship God now all the time, but he will. You ought to put it down. Every knee, the Bible says, is going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess. Some may be too late for them. But you see, there's going to be worship. So God has got worship in the midst of this thing for us. I didn't get into very much of this part, when it gets down to polluted bread. We'll talk about that next week. Matter of fact, from verses number 7 through the remainder of the chapter, he's dealing with the priest. I want to point out some little phrases he keeps bringing up on them. And we're going to go down through that. We get into this thing. The book of Malachi, the whole theme of the book is what? Repent and return back to God. He's trying to get their attention. All right, their love, their service, and their worship so far. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You this morning for the opportunity to study the Word of God. Help have Your way in our life and heart. Touch the remainder of the service. Touch the song service and preaching hour. And God, may Your name be exalted today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.